Yeah, just a bunch of pilgrims, I guess. It's the news, according to me. Well, good morning. It is Wednesday, August 14th, 10:23 Central Time, 11:23 Eastern Standard Time, and I am still on my boat. I have been on my boat now for 2 days. It's been actually almost 3 days. It's past 48 hours. Yeah, 48 hours that I've been on this boat. Now I've gotten off, of course, to go eat. Had a huge breakfast this morning. Had the old two scrambled eggs with cheddar cheese, two bacon slices, two sausages, two big, huge pancakes, and some tea and some water. That was it. That's all I had. And it was, I have to say, it was good. Good stuff. Yeah, so I have a... In my cup this morning, I have my vanilla chai with my coconut cream creamer. That's it's tasting mighty fine. Now I also have the weather here has just been awesome the last couple days. I actually rode my bike over to the restaurant this morning, and it's been just been you know 70s, 60s at night. Could be a little cooler at night. Could be Right down around 60 or just 50, 57, 58, right around there would be nice on the boat. I also have a backup cup this morning. It's a little different. I have this peach tea that I picked up from, I don't remember where I got it. I got it somewhere. Oh, I got it from Runnings. This place called Runnings here in this area, in our county. We have there's a couple counties in this area, I think they have about 10 stores probably total in this region. It used to be, well, a long time ago it was Big R, and then they bought up a lot of the Big R buildings, and it became something else, and then it became something else. And for like 5 minutes it was something else, and then now it's Runnings. And now they've got, the stores are completely stocked with a lot of stuff. It is ridiculous the amount of things you can find in the store. It is, I would say it competes with Walmart, other than groceries, and they do have a few of those, but it's mostly snacks and that kind of thing is what they have in there. But it's as far as clothing, utilities, those kinds of things, there is a large number of products. It's more of a farm store. It's definitely better than a farm they're going to put Fleet Farm out of business probably, but. Well, I mean, it just depends on the location you're in. I mean, they're not everywhere, but this particular one is going to be able to definitely put a run for their money. And it's not Farm and Fleet. It used to be Farm and Fleet. Now it's the camera. What it is TSC, Tractor Supply. Anyway, onward and upward, we have a few things to talk about. A lot of things going on. Of course, this Elon Musk. I want to talk about this Elon Musk and Donald Trump. I'm going to call it a conversation. It's an interview. It was really a conversation between Elon and Donald Trump. And it is so refreshing to see someone like Elon Musk get behind Donald Trump and not just be an adversary. Now, a lot of the technology, a lot of things that Elon is doing, that Musk is doing, unfortunately, I think that's the kind of technology that can be used against us eventually. The Neuralink, some of those kinds of things that are happening out there, the kind of communication, telecommunication, satellite communication, all this kind of stuff that's happening. All of that stuff. Now, of course, he's known for the electric car. Tesla was his thing. He actually got his start with PayPal. He actually was an individual who was trying to start this thing, and he was basically what X, his dream has always been to have X be the kind of the whole place where everybody trades funds. And that never worked out for him. He ended up in the same office building, the same complex as PayPal, at one point. And one was, you know, he was more into the stock market and PayPal was more into, you know, phone-to-phone trading. At that time, it was like it was, it's actually those little personal, they weren't even iPads at that time. They were just little, what were they, personal handheld devices that had your calendar and all this stuff on. Couldn't even make a phone call on them. But he was trying to, they were trying to work on, you know, being able to transfer funds via that system over infrared, you know, transfer. Well, they were doing that. And then they ended up both becoming kind of merging into this whole thing where they were both competing against each other for certain products. And in the process of all of that, they ended up becoming competitors. Well, then they ended up merging. Of course, there was still a lot of animosity between the two because they were vicious competitors prior to that. And it was the whole, so the whole story is that, you know, eventually Elon Musk kind of took over the company, was involved with PayPal, was never really a PayPal fan. He was more into what he had started himself. And so then he, I think he sold out his share of PayPal at some point for ridiculous amounts of money. And that's where he got started with, that's how he got his, himself funded. Now he did not grow up a poor boy by any means, but he was definitely, very much involved in the tech industry at that time. Now, my understanding is he went to a school somewhere, and he actually he quit. I think he attended for a couple of weeks and quit. Now, I don't know. He's gotten his education somewhere else. He has to have been educated somewhere on most of this stuff. I don't know that much about him in terms of his study academics. Now. Here we are. We have a lot of things going on with. I'm going to talk about the Biden Harris campaign, and the Harris Walls campaign, which this is the most bizarre thing I think I've seen in my lifetime. And it's as I've said before, there's a civil war going on behind the scenes, and it's still there. This is still going on. There is panic, in my opinion. This is just my opinion. I don't know anything about what's. I have not heard anything from anyone about this at all. This is my speculation based on how I know people are and what I know of the Democrat Party. There is a tremendous amount of pressure on the Harris-Walls campaign right now to present themselves as being a viable candidacy. There are people behind the scenes that are saying, I believe, and that's the rumor I have heard, is that if Harris doesn't perform well before the convention, that she could be out on her face. If they could actually try to depose her at the convention. If she has the momentum and has the polls, and it looks good for her to win, they will keep her in her campaign. Now, this, of course, means that they're going to be fighting for their lives and doing everything that they can. This is why they don't want to debate before the convention. This is why she's not answering any questions from the media till the convention. Later in the month, that's what she says, which is after the convention. This is not secure. She keeps saying that they have all the delegates, this is it, this is secure. And the reason they're saying that is because that way they can get donors. Of course, now the donors are coming in. Money's coming in mostly from large companies, and it's going through, ActBlue and all these other companies that are organizations that are funneling money through fake accounts to make it look like a small donors coming into the account. Now, on top of that, you've got all these people who are fighting for their lives because they know that their jobs and their access depends on this. They will be out on their ear for at least 4 years if they lose this election. There's a lot of people in this organization I'm talking about. They're going to lose their jobs. They're nice, high-paying, cush jobs with all the access and everything that they get. It's one big party for these people. Because they really don't do anything. They just run around and schmooze. So we have Kamala's campaign right now have to come up with the appearance that they are doing well in the polls. This is their goal. This is their pretty much their only. That's just their main thing that they're doing. So we have a poll that comes out that actually shows that, and they're making it sound like she's winning in these polls. I think it's now 44-42% or 42-40%, something like that, in favor of Harris. They have to have this. And the polls that they're using are taking samples from heavily weighted towards Democrats. They even made this audacious comment yesterday that on the area of the economy, people favor Harris over Trump when it comes to the economy. Which they just flat out lied on that because the poll didn't show that at all. It showed actually showed a 9% difference, and it was Trump. How they did the math to get this, it makes no sense to me. But they have to have this out there. And of course, the news media, the Harris campaign is just puts this information out. Oh, the polls say we're and people believe it. Now, here's the other weird part about this, and this is, always happens with Google, is the glitch. If there's ever a glitch or ever a problem, it always happens in favor of the Democrat. They were, you know, the other day they realized that if you Google Trump assassination, everything about Harris comes up. Oh, there's a glitch. Oh, yeah, a glitch in our algorithm. We'll fix that because we got caught. Question is, how much of this stuff doesn't get caught? Now, what happened was the first ad that was seen was this ad. It was an ad that was purchased by the Harris campaign that looked like an AP news story. And when you Googled certain things, you went to search for certain things, this news story came up at the top of the list. Because it was a glitch. And it looked like an AP news story. It didn't say sponsor, didn't say this was a paid advertisement, nothing like that. And it talked about how Harris is going to bring down costs and lower inflation and raise wages. How do you do that? Unless you're living in a communist country. It's the only control government should have is over government workers. They shouldn't have control over other workers out there. It shouldn't be able to raise wages and lower prices unless you've got control of the means of production, which is that's communism. And that's what they want. What really aggravates me probably more than anything else that goes on in this entire process is that Kamala Harris keeps saying, on day one, I'm going to change this. On day one, as soon as I'm president, we're going to do this and that. Who's the president right now? Whose administration are you in right now? Are you blaming Joe Biden for all these problems? None of this is you? You're washing your hands and... Now, Joe Biden recently just threw her under the bus, basically. Recently. And I think he did this on purpose. Because he has a plausible explanation for why he said this. Well, he has to say that, well, she's very competent. She's been involved in all the decisions we've been making in this administration. Guess what? That means she has to own all the decisions that were made in this administration. And they are horrible decisions. They keep telling us the economy is great. Everybody knows. When you go out to eat, when you go to get groceries, when you go to pay your gas bill, that things are not cheaper, inflation is not down, and your wages are barely covering what you know, even if you did get a raise, it's probably not even covering what the rate of inflation has been. And again, I contend that until we get gas down to $2 a gallon, this is all we're going to see. And we have to see that. We have to get gas back down in the $2 range, less than $2.50, before you start seeing families really feeling like they're able to just live their lives and get on with their lives and not have to squeak by with everything. I guarantee you that's what's happening. Now, since that AP ad has been found, They've also found one for Reuters and a couple other news organizations. And they were all paid advertisements, but they dressed it up to make it look like a news release. And Google let them all go through. Now, here's what's weird about that is, how do you, if I were to put an ad out there and I made it look like Associated Press, how is that even legal to do on Google's platform? Pretending to be somebody else, talk about misinformation, disinformation. That's incredible that Google will allow that. I'm not saying it's not free speech. I'm just saying Google allows that on their platform, apparently.
Oh, it's a glitch.
And the glitch was that it wasn't shown as a sponsored ad. Not that it was a wrong, not that they were misleading you in the advertisement, but it was that it was not sponsored as an ad. The content was bad as well. I'm not saying anything about that. So here we are. And they tell us that, you know, all this stuff with Trump is fake news. Now, getting into I want to really dive into, as much as possible, this interview between Donald Trump and this conversation that happened between Elon Musk and Donald Trump. And I want to get into that. But first of all, I want to talk a little bit about Tim Walz and the church he attends. When I tell you a little bit about this, I think you will be appalled. Now, people can believe what they want to believe, and I want to give them the benefit of the doubt that they're, you know. But if you want to know what this guy is about, you know, if you want to know really what a person, the way they really are, find out what kind of church they attend, kind of find out what they believe in terms of their faith and their, you know, the baseline of what they actually believe. And what the church they attend may not mean that much if they're not really a part of it, not really engaged. This guy's really engaged in what's going on in his church. It is called the Pilgrim Lutheran Church. I think it's got a longer name than that, but that's basically what it is. It's very hard to find anything out about this church. But here's what it is. And they've got some things on their website. I guess this is up in Minnesota. Of course, they pray to Mother God. This is a trend that's been happening for the last 15, 20 years, probably. But this movement's grown quite a bit. And it is very much a feminized church. It is an anti-patriarchal church movement, that the theology here is. And it is made to be all inclusive and accepting and inclusive, and not just that, but also advocating for the marginalized among us, who are of course any race you want to pick out other than white people, and of course then there's the underprivileged, they just pretty much lump them all into one class, the LGBTQ, the, you know, whatever they are, anything else they are. And so it is very much these are my pronouns kind of place. All this stuff. Now, you may not think that this is such a bad thing. There are people out there who say, well, you know, what's so bad about that? They're trying to be inclusive, trying to include everybody. We get to this point in this particular situation when we have this kind of theology out there, for so many reasons that it's wrong, so many reasons that it is pure evil, and so many reasons why for the last 2,000 years this has not been the norm in biblical churches. And the norm in theology. The progressives are taking over the churches. This has been happening since, since the 60s. The 60s, the movement in the 60s, up until through the 70s, the beatniks those who were, you know, the teenagers in the 60s that were doing the riots, the anti-war people, all that kind of stuff, they were, and I don't have a problem being anti-war. The problem is I have, they were anti-government, anti-war. It was just a lot of, that's where the movement really got its tread, its traction. And in the process, it just scooped up every other thing it could complain about along the way. Until here we are today. Now, most of those people who were the radicals in the 60s stepped, you know, they grew up, started having kids, and they didn't stop being activists. Started getting more and more involved in government. Some of them got legal degrees, became lawyers, now they're judges. Many, many of them got involved in church leadership. And they promote those ideas and ideals in their church theology. So this has creeped in, and it's all happened since those the 60s movements have progressed into this now. It's, you know, 50 years or so. And it just keeps happening. And what's going to be the end of this? I mean, is it going to just stop? Are we going to be able to push back on this? I mean, the Methodist Church now is splitting. If they haven't split already, they're splitting this year or next year. I think they might have already split this year. They're basically dividing up all the churches, which is a real problem because the Methodist Church owns all properties. Wherever there's a Methodist Church, they own the property. Almost everywhere. There's maybe a handful of exceptions in the entire country. So they're running into this problem. Well, this Pilgrim Church that Walls is a part of is very much into the entire inclusive and advocating for. In other words, they don't just want acceptance, they want promotion. That's where they go with this. I just wanted to mention that about Walls. If you want to know anything about the guy and know what he's really about, which is ironic because, you know, when you get the white man at the top saying he's going to help out the black people, the people of color, that's all these other marginalized groups. That's just more group politics, identity politics, and it's identity religion. And of course, you know, the white man is the one going to be at the top again. Now this, I got this thing I recorded. Hopefully I can play this. Hopefully you can hear it up because I'm just on my laptop here. But I do have this interesting Caitlin Collins, I think is her name. Caitlin Collins is a CNN commentator, news anchor person. Very biased. She did an interview with President Trump. I think she was one of the people the main person who did the town hall with Donald Trump. Now, the whole thing about this is she comes out with this. The entire media now is all a buzz, and there's some things I want to play for you either tomorrow or Friday that show you how disingenuous and how manipulative they can be about this stuff. They will play an excerpt of the interview that went on between Donald Trump and Elon Musk. They'll play this little excerpt that doesn't say anything really. It doesn't say what they're saying. It says, and then they say, "Well, this is mostly Elon Musk." But the conversation. Then they proceed to tell you what the conversation was about, and how awful it was. And that's not what the conversation was about. I listened to it. I listened to the entire interview. About 1 hour. I was probably about 35 minutes delayed in what I was watching. They did have some glitches, and of course, they're now complaining. Oh, these people are technologically. You know, behind the time, they can't even have a live stream that works. You know, that's how incompetent these people are. Calling Elon Musk incompetent and stupid is about the stupidest thing you can do, in my opinion. Because literally a rocket scientist, he launches rockets into the sky, has electric cars that drive all over the place, that drive themselves. He has, you know, this kind of thing, By the way, the reason it crashed is because, one, they got hit with an attack, and two, they got hit with, which, you know, that's a big, big surprise there. When Europe is telling them that they can't have this conversation, they have to shut it down because it's going to be all lies and misinformation. Excuse me? We haven't even had the conversation yet. We haven't said anything yet. How do you know what we're going to talk about, and what is it that, you know, why are we supposed to kowtow to you? Which brings up another point. Apparently, the UK, there was the Prime Minister there, or somebody over there, said that they're going to extradite people from the United States who post anything about the riots that are going on in Europe right now, because they have laws against insightful speech. Can't say anything that incites, you know, whatever's going on over there. You can't say anything about it because you're clamping down on it. See, they don't have a First Amendment over there. You know what? Come and get me. This is something where, this is at the point where, if the U.S. is going to extradite me for saying something about Europe, they're going to extradite me to Europe because I posted something on a post, because I said something on a podcast. And if our country is going to come and get me and deport me to go to prison over there for up to 20 months, by the way. Now, keep in mind, there was a man who was wielding a knife and stabbing kids. He got, I think it was 6 months in prison. They're going to put you in jail for 20 months for posting something online. This is the sick part of the world we live in. I tell you, if they come to get me, it will be over my dead body, and probably a lot of others as well. I'm sorry. There's a line I will not cross, and that is the one. That is where it ends, right there. If another country wants to extradite me for something I said, my protected speech in this country, and this country is going to the leaders of our country. Speaker of the House, the President, and the Vice President, the Supreme Court, everybody should be making a formal statement against and just condemning what this guy said. We will not enforce anything of this. We will not extradite anybody for this purpose, because we have a First Amendment in this country, and we have sworn an oath to uphold and defend it. Period. We have this thing called legal speech that people are trying to push. Dan Goldman, Jamie Raskin, many, many people on the left in Congress right now are saying that that you only have the right to legal speech, and legal speech can't be misinformation. Misinformation, you don't have the right to say misinformation. You don't have the right to lie. You don't have the right to say something hateful. Oh, yes, that comes along with free speech, buddy. Sorry. You do have the right to lie, but I also, if you lie, you have the right to do so. I also have the right to prove you wrong. I have the right to speak up. You can't silence me. I have the right to speak up and call out your lies. Just because you say it's a lie doesn't mean it's a lie. We can debate whether or not it's truth or not. This is where they're going with this. Think about the ramifications of this when it comes to pastors speaking about what's in the Bible. They will throw the Bible out because it's not based on, that's not true. Because it's okay for a man to lay with a man and a woman to lay with a woman. If a pastor speaks out against that because of what's in the scriptures, that could be labeled, condemned, taken to court, punished, and eventually they will just completely attack the Bible and say it's banned. Or they have to degenderify it or do something to it. It has to be a government-approved version of the Bible. This is where we're going with this. Because otherwise, it's not legal speech. You only have the right to legal speech. Well, that's not true. I don't know where you ever read that in your little code of whatever you got there. Rules for Radicals is where that comes from. So, now that I've ranted about that enough, so I want to play this. I want to play this audio because it's really quite telling. Apparently, Stephen Colbert does not know his audience quite as well as he thought he did. He makes this comment, and of course, I think it was partially his delivery and the way he said it, but it was also just the fact that he said what he said, and of course the group that was there, they all, it was very obvious, they did not agree with what he was saying. They thought it was pretty funny, actually. So we're going to play this, and hopefully this comes out. We're going to go to this next one, and this is what Caitlin Collins.
It's so absurd
This comes from Mark Dice. So this is this thing from Mark Dice.
His heels by this, and he's not really sure how to go after Vice President Harris. He knew his attack lines on President Biden. He really has struggled with how to go after someone who's 20 years younger than him, who is a different gender, a different race. It's kind of been this moment where he has not been able to coalesce around a single attack line.
Oh, yes, he has.
I know you guys are objective over there, that you just report the news as it is.
Oh, I know. CNN makes it.
Was that supposed to be a lab line?
I wasn't supposed to be, but I guess it is.
Wasn't supposed to be, but I guess it is. I know you guys are objective over there and you try to tell the truth, and everybody laughed. Everybody laughed. And then they wonder why they laughed. I guess it's a laugh line. It's so obvious that these people are in the tank for the Harris campaign. I mean, it's anytime when they stand there and defend the Harris campaign, when they're asking somebody else, they're having an interview with J.D. Vance. They're asking him questions. He makes a comment about Harris. Well, we're not interviewing her. We're interviewing you. You're interviewing me because she won't show up for an interview. Well, let's move on. Well, she said this. Well, she didn't really say it. It's not the interviewer's job to defend one party over another, one candidate over another. If you have a difference of opinion, that's one thing. If you have facts to back up your statement to say, well, that's not what they said. They said this. And let's play it. That's fine. Bring the receipts. They don't do that. It's interesting when Caitlin Collins was asking Donald Trump about the January 6th event and what everything was happening. Why didn't he come out and say something about being peaceful? He pulled out a piece of paper with a timeline on it. He said, well, let's just go over that. Got it right here. At such and such a time, the day before, he said this. And he said this later on in the day. And after the attack started happening, he said this. Everything that he said was all the quotes he had there were directly from everything he posted. And it was all about being peaceful and patriotic. Now they'll say, well, that's just a dog whistle. There's a secret code in there. Yeah, all of us MAGA people, we pull out our secret decoder rings, and we put it in our ear, and then when we hear Trump say something, we can actually hear what he's really saying. This is ridiculous. The thing I like I'm sure there are things that Elon Musk and Donald Trump do not agree on, but they had a respectful conversation, good discourse. There was a very good back and forth. Donald Trump is not a big fan of electric cars for everybody. He doesn't want to see a mandate. He doesn't want to see everybody forced to have to buy an electric car. They have their place. And he complimented him on the product that he makes. It's a good product. But, it's not for everybody. And we're not there yet. We're not at the place where we can all drive electric cars. We may get there at some point. But you can't force it. You can't force the market. Let's get there based on the technology we have today. We have enough fuel in the earth for at least 100 years. Think where the technology could lead in another 100 years. If we're going to be here that long. And we can continue this on if we just use the resources we have now to get us to the next resource. Science makes incredible leaps and bounds. You know, every year we make, if you look at the past 100 years in terms of technology, we have exponentially gone, you know, the level of technology just increases exponentially. It might, you know, the kind of technology we have, the efficiency of a light bulb might increase, you know, 200% in 1 year. And the next year increases another 200%. Now you've increased it from the first year. Now in 2 years, it's increased 400%. And then you go another 200% from there. Now you're talking compounded. Now you're 800% from where you were 3 years ago. I don't know if my math is all right on that, but it's, you know, get the idea. It compounds itself. One technology leads to another, and one helps to develop another. Semiconductors, those kinds of things. Everything that we do with data and energy storage and all the things we're discovering. And we'll get there. We'll get to a point where it will be, you know, energy will not be an issue. Energy shouldn't be an issue now. It's all the wacky doodles that are out there. They're making that a problem. Now, and I'll play this one particular thing that they talked about. They were passing off nuclear war like as if it was nothing. Oh, this wasn't a big deal. Oh, just these rich guys getting together and talking about things and joking about the little people out there. That's not what was happening at all. They're trying to tell you without having to listen to the conversation. Now, think about this. This thing has had at least 1 billion impressions as of yesterday, as of last night. Their interview had 1 billion impressions, probably at least that many listens at this point, that actually people have actually listened to most or all of it, more than 50% of it. They want to edit this thing. They want to do all kinds of... Then there's the issue of Donald Trump's lisp. I'm going to get into this, because they did talk about this a little bit. Here's the big issue. Now, I'm a vocal guy. And I notice things in people's speech. I just do. It's just the way it's the way I'm wired because I've been involved in it for so long. I have noticed since the shooting, I have noticed a slight, I'm not going to call it a slur, it is what I call a, it's like a plosive in Donald Trump's voice. It is a, how do I best put this? It's not a lisp, and it's not a slur. It is a difference in his jaw structure. It is a difference in his, the coordination of his lower jaw. Let's say that. Now, this happens to people as they get older. This does happen. And I'm noticing it now. There is just a touch of this on his S's. It's something called sibilance. And he definitely has some of that going on. There is a definite, what's the word? Sibilance there. I guess my time is almost up here, folks. I do want to thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for paying attention to what's going on in the world. We will continue to press on tomorrow and Friday. We're going to have a lot more audio for you to hear. Hopefully, one of those days, probably Friday. In the meantime, keep praying for our nation. God bless. Have a great day.